Wait a minute.
Kill this.
Birdie num num.
Birdie num num.
What's up, ladies and gents, and welcome back to another episode of the Birdie Num Num Podcast. I'm having a good week. I really hope you all are having a great week. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about something that I have even written a book about because somebody on the Instagram, on the IG, has asked me to talk about, hey, Sanjay, can you talk about advice for new joiners, freshies, young people, new hires in the IT industry? So whether you're working at a big office, a tech company, an IT company, a corporate, this should be applicable to you. So here we go. And of course, yes, I can. Of course I can, because we have a nice open dialogue here on the Birdie Num Num podcast every week. So getting straight to it, when I started working at Accenture many, many years ago, I remember I was so excited to go. Here's the thing about big companies and especially IT companies. I naturally think that corporations are an extension of college. And what I mean by that is you're in a system in school, so you have batchmates and friends, and you're in a system in college, of course, you have batchmates and friends, and you all go to this big building and it looks so grand and you're so intimidated. And then by the time you leave, it like couldn't be any smaller, you know? And the same thing with corporations. Like, I always feel bad for people who immediately leave college and like join a company of like three people, because that is also, it's quite lonely. You don't know. You're always comparing yourself to what your friends are doing. They're going on these crazy trainings in Mysore or Chicago or Malaysia or whatever. And you're just like not seeming to have any fun. And so I think corporations are great to a point. I think they are fantastic. You learn a lot. You have so many resources at your disposal. You can find a corner to kind of do your stuff in. And so for a lot of people who join big tech companies, yes, I think it's very exciting. So congratulations if you are in a company of at least 50 to 100 people and you have some bit of, friendship and comfort there, and you're going to learn a lot. So I joined a big company, and my experience was a little bit different, actually, because I kind of came in with like 1 year of experience because I was interning at the company in college. And so I kind of like wiggled through some loopholes. But long story short, I really enjoyed my time. I think if you're just starting out, here's a couple of mistakes that a lot of people make when they start working. Number one, we all have this conception, is that the right word? I don't know why, but okay, fine. We all have this belief that, is conception like, no, conception is like birth, right? Misconception. Okay. Anyways, right. Okay. I don't know what's happening to my freaking English these days. So we all have this belief that you're going to get into a big company and, oh, he works at Sony and like, wow, he must design the PlayStation, or, oh, wow, she works at Toyota. She's like working on engines. No, nobody is giving a 21-year-old at Toyota complete control over engine design. What you're probably doing, and when you have friends and family who have these big cushy jobs, whether it's at Google or Ford or Hyundai, whatever, you're probably working on the PDF manual, or you're probably testing some small bit of software that tests another bit of software that tests another bit of software that finally works on something with the engine. You know what I mean? So usually big, huge companies have very finite tasks, and they're very broken down. And you know that rule, 80% or 20% of the people do 80% of the work? Yes, 100%. I know so many of my friends at Boeing who have worked there for 20 years. Not a single one of them has ever told me, oh, you see the tail on that plane? Yeah, I designed that. No, you and 600 like guys and girls who are like 55 years old who are finally entrusted to make the big decision. So in startups, you don't really have that. And in smaller companies, you can kind of do a lot. But for a lot of people, they see, especially in the software industry, in the big, big IT industries, you know, you get your job at Infosys, Microsoft, Wipro, maybe even Google, I'm not sure. And you basically have these very small roles. And what ends up happening is, you kind of get comfortably mediocre, if you know what I mean. And I used to do this all the time. I would like tease my friends, because I had friends who were investment bankers at JP Morgan and Goldman Sachs. And I was like, dude, you know what? I got paid to web surf for the last 3 months. I was getting paid $6,000 a month, and I haven't done a single day of work in the last 3 months. My boss doesn't even care, because he's kind of checked out. Nobody really cares about our project. Like, you know, 10 people do the real work, and the rest of us are just kind of like there for the meetings and kind of BSing our way through. And I think a lot of people in our heart of hearts, I think we all know somebody like this. A lot of us are like this. And a lot of us think it's cool. And that's fine if your priorities are your kids and other things in this job. It's just a means to an end and a comfortable means to an end. And yes, man, even in the corporate world, I have taken cross-country international trips, hotels, flights, everything, business class, this, that. And the whole trip was like a big wash. You know, like I could have easily done it via an email, or we just had money we had to spend and we did it. And welcome to big fat corporate life, Indian, American, European, whatever. So when you're young, this is kind of an eye opener for a lot of people. Like, yes, you will be busy. I'm not saying it's a cakewalk. I'm not saying you won't have to learn a bunch of Java or a bunch of SQL or a bunch of big, you know, whatever the big data tools are, and you won't be busy. You know, as I've talked about before, don't confuse being busy with being productive. And there'll be times where you're trying to figure something out and it's just easier to go cell by cell on the CSV file or whatever, rather than try to write some script to kind of automate it. And just a bunch of random busy work. And that's where people get jaded and they get angry and they get confused. But ultimately, it just turns into a job. So in order to avoid that, because trust me, dude, it sounds cool now to think that you're getting a paycheck and then go to the bars, hang out with your friends. But people who keep doing that wake up at 25, at 30, and they're like, what have I done with my time? All my friends are doing amazing things. They take pride in their work and you know, they enjoy it. We did a show for ISRO a couple of, on New Year's Day, and they were like so enthusiastic. And then my friend told me, yeah, they paid them just as much as the Indian IT companies to kind of attract that talent. But look at how much drive people have on the stuff that they're doing. So number one, when you're joining a new IT company, do not get complacent, okay? Do not try to find your little corner and go hide. Try to be at the best you can be, because this is the best time of your life. You have the most energy. You're probably not married if you're 21, 22, 23, 24. And I mean, you just have like the time and the capability, and you're not going to get bogged down with like stress and age. And dude, you're in your prime. So like use it, you know? You're getting paid, you're getting a decent salary, 1 lakh a month, 30K a month, rupees, I don't know, whatever, you know, you're getting in whatever job, even if you're getting 20K a month and you're like 21 years old and you're doing stuff, like you're learning. You're basically, the beauty of the Indian IT industry is they're paying you to basically invest in your career. You know what I mean? And some of you will say, oh, my boss is an idiot and I had to do everything. And he says he knows HTML and CSS and PHP, but he doesn't know anything. Well, fine. And if he's dumping it on you and you're rising to the occasion, guess what? You're going to take his or her job and you're going to learn so much, and all this is going to come back to you. So number one, don't do the young thing of being excited that you're getting paid to do nothing. Get paid to do something. And if there's no work and your boss is one of those who's like, I don't want to like stop making noise, just be happy you're kind of doing the bare minimum and you're getting paid for it, then in your free time, don't just go out and have cigarettes and coffee and complain all the time or watch cricket scores. Take courses on Udemy, learn stuff on Coursera, like up, you know, look for new jobs, whatever it might be, but make sure, because trust me, dude, I look back now, like I used to think I knew so much, like in all these technologies, but now I know way more, and I'm continuously learning, and it feels great, man. So that's number one. Don't fall into a corner. Number two, for those of you who are joining these places, is you are gonna have some crap work. Okay, on the opposite side of number one, some of you are gonna join and you're gonna go on a 1 week training, or you're gonna get pulled out of training and you're gonna be annoyed that you had to leave your friends to go to, you know, like just start working, and you're going to be in something you hated. You know, you're going to be doing point and click testing. You're going to be looking at spreadsheets all day. You're going to be doing mindless PowerPoints that you don't see a purpose for. You know, your boss is going to tell you to learn stuff, but he or she's going to be very vague about it. You know, you're going to get put into a technology that you thought was going to be something with Microsoft, but now it's something on Unix or Linux or whatever, and you're just going to hate it. And I feel you, man. I totally feel you. But please, in this day and age of attention spans and people wanting instant gratification, I urge you, 1 year is nothing, okay? And if you're in a technology or a skill, when I started working, I wanted to work in SAP and Oracle apps because I knew that was how you got international travel. But instead, they threw me into an industry called business intelligence, which nobody was really doing, but that ended up becoming the hottest skill ever. And so I'm so glad they didn't let me switch even after I was trying to kick up a rut, because all that other stuff is kind of boring now, but BI and analytics and whatever it's called now, was exciting, and that's where all the opportunities ended up coming. So a lot of you will have to eat your vegetables, for lack of a better word. You will be in stuff that is nothing like you anticipated. It's so funny when young kids think they want to like they're good at video games, so they decide they want to do computer programming. This is such a common thing that Indian people do, is or any nerds do, my cousins included. One of my cousins now, he makes like a bunch of like video gamer machines, but he just had a picture with Gary Vee, which I thought was very cool. So if I can find it, I'll put it up here. But it was so interesting. Like, all of us have this crap, and these young kids, they play video games, and they think naturally, because they're good at video games and they're playing something that was coded by a programmer, that they're going to love programming. And then they realize, holy crap, even designing a map in OpenGL or whatever the technologies are, this is hard. And there's physics and there's math. And I never really got really, really good at coding. Like, I can find sample code, I can reverse engineer something, I can see what they did. But for some reason, that block in my head of like, I can never really write code. Like, if you ask me to make an app from complete scratch, there's no way. Like, C was the hardest thing for me to ever figure out. Java, I was okay with. C Sharp, pretty similar to that. And all those sort of object-oriented languages. But I was not a good coder at all. And so many people, when they start into CS and to IT, they think it's going to be something that it's not. And they get these really boring projects doing testing for some finance application, or doing web design for a real estate company, or designing apps, but it's like a boring like healthcare app that they don't care about or something. And I understand. And here's another thing people do, okay, is they think, wow, well, and I did this too, like, wow, I'm really good with technology, but I want to be on the business side of software. I want to be on the business side because I want to tell the nerds what to do, but I don't want to do it myself. You know what I mean? Like, that's what people always do. They're like, I don't want to do it myself, but I want to tell the nerds what to do. And then they don't realize that doing business analysis and being a business analyst and having to chase down requirements from clients who don't want to talk to you and don't want to be bothered because they have other stuff to do, or and they think maybe you're trying to take their job or automate your job. Dude, it's so difficult. You know that joke? What do women want? I mean, what do clients want, actually? Because here's why developers and business analysts don't get along. A business analyst doesn't really care what a business analyst or somebody who's like a project manager who's tasked with finishing the task or getting the project completed has to go chase down what are the requirements for this system. And most people in big companies don't care to give them, or they don't know, or they don't really understand the point of the project, or they're just not sure, or they're just in a bad mood and they had a divorce last week, or their wife fought with them, or they're a lifer at that company, like at a big bank, and they don't want to be bothered. And when this happens to most people, like, the business analyst starts to get frustrated because he or she just has to kind of finish the BRD or the documents. And the testers and the engineers, dude, why are testers on projects from the get-go before requirements have even been fleshed out? I know that they exist for a reason. And I know sometimes even a tester trying to figure out what the product is to test is like already on the team. And then he or she ends up being part of like requirements capture sessions because they just don't have a meeting to go to, and they may as well just be there, you know? So this happens all the time, but this is, I mean, welcome to corporate America. Welcome to corporate India. So you need to recognize that you're put into this job, not necessarily because you know a skill, that is one part of it, but because you are resourceful, but because, you know, if there is no work, you can go find work. And if you have a bad manager, you know how to go over his or her head without going over his or her head. You know, like not how to play office politics, but how to have basic human sort of how to manage human relationships without stepping on people's toes. And there is a difference there. It's very subtle, but you'll know, you'll see when you do it. So it's interesting, man. Like, number one, on this, like, don't get lazy, don't get complacent. And number two, when you get a bunch of garbage collection in Java, don't get too upset. This is not what you wanted. Nobody wanted to do this, trust me. But there is a point to it, because once you are on some crap project for 2 or 3 years, or, you know, you're on like a tech marathon or a tech slog, whether or not you ever see somebody use that project, whether or not they scrub the whole thing or cancel it, scrub, get it? Whether or not any of that happens, you will be better off for it. So I urge you in this age of social media and dwindling attention spans, do not, because there's no better, like people who want to quit a project every 6 months because they're not getting an onshore opportunity or they're not getting something that they really wanted. After 3 years, they're at zero, where somebody who stayed at a really bad project after 2 years, at the very least has that 2 years on his or her resume and probably has built better relationships and has found a better way to transition into something. And, to the young people, again, the last thing I want to say, which I always say, because right now, speaking quite frankly, all young people want to do is make money, hook up, eat good food, and kind of do all the stuff they did, kind of being from a humble middle-class family. And, you know, now they're in the city and they want to party and see the world and all that stuff. And I don't blame you, but you can do all of that and you can do it way better if you just hunker down. And again, don't do what everybody else is doing. When I was 21, I wish I had an older mentor in the IT industry who like shook me and was like, look, you can go for all your beers and you can go try to chase women at like the nearby Los Angeles bar, but it's Tuesday. There's no need to catch up for a drink with friends right now. Go home. If you don't like the project you're on right now, go take some courses on Java or go make something. Or here's a better idea. That $1,000 you made last month and you're not doing anything with, try to make an app or try to build a website or just try to do something, because man, it's never been easier. It's never been cheaper to succeed and fail, but you can literally make, dude, you could make WhatsApp for like $4,000 on your laptop. I mean, you could make a chat application is what I mean, and proof of concept it. So, I mean, if you have side ideas, or you could direct your own movie, you know, using a camera and Final Cut Pro, it's just never been a better time to do anything. And I feel anytime in the IT, the one thing I regret about the IT industry is, but I mean, I got mediocre real fast and I fell into an area where I knew I wasn't living to my full potential, but eventually you make the right decisions and that stuff comes out. So I hope that was helpful, you guys. This was somebody who messaged me on Instagram directly asking me about kind of navigating the first few years of IT. All the technologies, it's never been easier to learn. There are so many resources out there for free. I'm a big fan these days of taking courses. So I don't know any courses in whatever language you want to take, but you can find them online. But I mean, dude, for $10, somebody's going to like hold your hand rather than you trying to watch 94 YouTube videos, each with a different angle, each with a different project. I would much rather just pay somebody to teach me something from the get-go. So time is money. And I appreciate your time with me today on the Birdie Num Num podcast. I will see you guys next week.
Birdie Num Num. Birdie Num Num. A birdie number. Yeah, that's right.